We're going to start with a verse of scripture. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs. I don't know how much y'all study Proverbs, but it's a really, sometimes it's a little hard to understand, but it's a really good place to start in your studies. But in Proverbs chapter 14, and we're just going to read verse 30, and then we're going to try to build upon that just a little bit this morning. But in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, here's what it says. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. So now we're talking about a spiritually sound heart is the life of our mortal body or our existence that we live in. But it says envy, which would be worldliness, is the rottenness of the bones, meaning the worldliness destroys us. So it's a spiritually sound heart that we have to obtain and we have to remain in as we live here in our life here upon this earth. So what is a spiritually sound believer? That's what we want to talk about for just a few minutes. A spiritually sound believer. So a spiritually sound believer is one who puts their complete trust in the sovereignty of God, meaning an all-powerful God, an all-existing God. We put our complete trust in that, but we don't just stop there, but we put our complete trust in Him to the point that we have an absolute inner peace and contentment in our life. So that would be one question I would ask you this morning. I'm going to ask you again at the end. Do we have an absolute inner peace and contentment in our life? And you might say, well, right at the moment I do, but how about every day? How about every moment of every day? So when we get to this place in our life, now pay attention to this. When we get to this place in our life, it implies to others or it shows others that we have a soul that is at rest in the Lord. So where are we at in our peace of mind or in our spiritually sound rest in the Lord? So in order to do that, it means that there's a lot of things in our life that we have to get rid of. So just start thinking of all those things in your life that we need to get rid of. And worry, anxiety, bitterness, anger, and stress. I mean, we could just go on. Jealousy. There's just so many things that causes consequences in our life, that consequences that are not pleasing to us, certainly not, and they're not pleasing to God. So how do we go about achieving spiritual maturity? Now, there's all kinds of ways, and we're going to look at some of those ways as we look through the scripture, but the best way that I can tell you is if you want to achieve spiritual maturity in your life, become more Christ-like. That's just that simple, but it's not that simple, is it? It's just not simple to become Christ-like. So spiritual maturity, that's how it is achieved, by becoming more Christ-like, which means we have to make the choice to change what we have as priorities in our life. So that means when something comes up and there's a choice between serving God and serving the world, we have to make the choice to what? Serve God. Do we always make the choice to serve God? No. Mostly we make the choice to serve the world because that is where our desires fall. And we learned in Bible study class the other night, we've heard it many times, but Dad's the one that was talking about it. You have had your old nature longer than anything else, so you're going to follow after what? That you've had the longest in your life. So it makes it hard to make this choice between serving God and serving the world. So we have to learn to change these priorities in our life. And the only way that we can change them is through our obedience to God. We have to be obedient to the Word of God. We have to strive for the things that strengthen us, not for the things that tear us down. And the reason that we a lot of times strive for the things that tear us down is because we don't realize they're tearing us down. So this is where we have to be in our life. So in order to do this, we have to walk in the Spirit and we have to live according to the Spirit's control in our life. So it might be easy to say that I walk in the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit's always talking to you, so we're always walking in that realm of the Spirit of the Lord because the Spirit indwells within us. But do we always let the Holy Spirit control us? When the Holy Spirit says, don't go here, do we go there? When the Holy Spirit says, don't do this, do we do it anyhow? So we have to live under the control of the Holy Spirit. We are responsible for the choices that we make to follow after the grace of God. That is yours and mine responsibility today. So in the book of Galatians, let's go here. It's going to be one of our scriptures this morning. Over in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16, here's what he says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, you're going to notice two things here. You're going to see a command and a promise. And you know, almost every scripture that you study, because we follow after, we're obedient to the promises and the commandments of God's Word, almost every scripture is both a command and a promise. So here's what he says. This I say then, here's the command, walk in the Spirit. That's a command that God gives unto us. Walk in the Spirit that indwells within you. And he says, if you do, here's the promise. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's simple. When I'm fulfilling the lust of the flesh, I'm not being obedient to the commandment of God. I'm not walking in the Spirit. So this is what he tells us. So we're commanded to live this spiritual life in Christ. So that means we got to live in the Spirit. We got to live by the Spirit. We got to pray in the Spirit. We got to walk only in the grace and the Spirit and the truthfulness of the Word of God. So that means we are to live our life by the grace of God that what? Saved you. It was your faith, but it was God's grace that saved us. This is where our life needs to be. So in order to do this, we have to have an earnest desire to do this. We got to desire to submit our life unto God. Now, it's hard to do when we got all these other things coming at us, but this is what we got to do. So that means every situation, every circumstance, everything that is questionable in our life, we have to become obedient to the promises and the commandments of God's Word. So we should never, 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 never rely on our own ability to do this because we cannot do it. Only the Holy Spirit within us can help us to do this in our life. So we have to learn to rely upon the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. So jump right on down with me to verse 17 real quick. Let's read it. And here's what he tells you. This is why a lot of time our spiritual life in the Lord is hindered. Because he said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And here, what does he say here? These are what? Contrary. They're conflicting with one another. Contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot. See, he tells you right here. You cannot. When this conflict is going on in our life, we cannot do the things that God would have us to do. It means really clear about that in our life. So the moment that before Christ, you really didn't have this going on too much until the Holy Spirit started convicting you to accept Christ. Because before Christ, Satan already had you. Is everybody with me? Nobody wants to admit to that, but Satan already had you. So after we receive Christ, then that old sin nature, which we inherited from Adam, but you can't use that as an excuse, it begins to conflict with our new nature in Christ. So as this is going on, then he says, now we can't function because of this conflict that's going on within us. So let me ask you this question. When you were saved, and I'm sure a lot of you asked God yourself, because I probably did when I was first saved, God, why didn't you just take that away from me? Could God have taken that away from you? Sure he could. Why did he leave it? Why did he leave something that he knew would be conflicting in our life? And the reason that he left it was he wanted these two natures to coexist in this earthly mortal body. And it is a reminder of how weak we were as a sinner. Now, if we never mature, and that's what we're talking about today, being spiritually sound or being spiritually mature in our life, if we never mature, then we've not grown out of this weakness. So he wants to remind us of that in our life. And he wants to assure us that we need to remain living in a surrendered life to him, a life that is totally dependent upon him. That's why we have it. The more that we notice it, the more we're going to strive to follow after the work of Christ. So in the book of Romans, let's go there real quick. In the book of Romans, chapter 7. Well, you've been in Romans a lot. You've been in Romans in Sunday school class. You're going to be in Romans in VBS. So Romans is a good book to be. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, here's what it says. For we are saved by what? Hope. Because our hope is in the grace of God. But hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? So if you've got something and you're holding on to it, you're not really that fond of it anymore. But he says, for hope that is not seen, why doth he yet hope for it? But here, listen to what he says in verse 25. But he says, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So he's this is a statement. This isn't a question. This is a statement that he's making. So, and you can think about this as in anything in your life. Let's say when you was young and Christmas was only 2 months away, where was your hope? Your hope was in Christmas coming. And with patience, you waited on it because it wasn't going to get here any sooner. So in our life in God, the things that we see not, he said, we do with patience. We wait for that with patience. So we have to learn. This is something we have to learn to understand as living a life in Christ. So in order to understand this, then we've got to be able to discover that the only way to become victorious in our life in Christ over the principalities of the sinfulness or the lustful desires that we have is to remain within God's grace, the grace that saved us. So to remain in it means that we're going to grow in it. You're saved. You're always going to be in it because it was grace to save you. But now God wants us to grow in that grace, because it was that saving grace that brings us to where we are today. So we need to learn, when we begin to do this, now we're starting to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit of God. So how many of us know? Let me ask you this. Do you experience every day, at least some portion of your day, do you experience a time that you are walking in the Spirit of God? Now, if you're saved, you're always walking in the Spirit of God because the Spirit indwells within you. But are you experiencing that? God wants us to experience that. He just doesn't want us to go through our day and at the end of the day look back and think of all the things that happened. It's like, "Ooh, Lord. Got me out of that one today, didn't you? Or you sure helped me out here? Or you sure helped me out? Why did we wait till the end of the day? We should have experienced it when it was happening in our life. So we should have been thankful. God, when something happened in my life, we stop and we say, thank you, Lord. Look what you've done for me. And in the next moment when something, so we experience that every day in our life. God wants us to experience that. Why don't we experience it? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Paul told the church at Corinthians why they weren't experiencing it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And let's see what he says. We're not going to like this. But he said, when I was a child, so we're talking about our spiritual maturity here. We're not talking about when you, because how many of you think you've grown up already? Sonny just turned what? Has he grown up yet, Debbie? No. Okay. So no, hadn't grown up. So when I was a child, listen to this, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. So we're okay with that because we're just okay with that. But he said, when I became a man. So we don't like this part of the verse because now we have to say that we're grown up in our spiritual maturity. When I became a man, so or woman, I don't want to leave anybody out. So when you think about then in your life, when I became a man or when I begin to grow up, when I begin to mature in my spiritual life, here's what he said. I put away the childish things, but yet we're still playing with the childish toys that we grew up with, aren't we? All of these lustful desires that God wants us to get rid of. So I could just start naming them off. We could start with habits that we have, then we could move on to something else, and then something else. These are all lustful desires. These are all things that we did as children or as immature believers, but yet we're still doing it now, even though we've said we have grown up and we've put them away. So Paul said, this is what is hindering our life, our life of spiritual maturity. You got to quit playing with the things of the world that God said, get rid of. It's time to pack all those old toys up and throw them away. And how many of you are hoarders or pack rats? We don't want to throw nothing away, do we? Oh, I better keep that. I might have a use for that. See, we do that in our spiritual life. Oh, Lord, I know you want me to get rid of it, but I better keep that. I might need that one of these days in my life. I might need that to get me through something or to do this. See, God says, no, you don't need it. If I told you you didn't need it, pack it up, put it away, get rid of it. Because you've told me that you are maturing spiritually in your life. So, our whole life is about growing up and maturing. You don't even have to think about your spiritual life in Christ. You can just think about your life. Our whole life is about growing up and maturing in our life. So at some point in time in our life in Christ, or in our life that Christ wants us to have, let's put it that way, because we want to start with the sinner and then move on to the believer. God gives unto us the knowledge of His will for our life. So at some time, if you're already a believer, at some time God began to show you what He wanted for you in your life. The Holy Spirit began to work. So, and you started to have this desire. You needed this salvation. You needed what? This hope of eternal life. So God established that in your life, and he may have done it in many different ways, but when He established that in our life and we begin to seek for it, then He also gave us the responsibility of making that choice. Some people would say this was your age of accountability. I don't know what that was in your life or mine. I can't remember that far back. But this was your age of accountability. Now you took responsibility for your life in Christ. You had to make that choice. So at that moment, if you did not accept to receive the saving grace that Jesus Christ had given you, and here's what most people don't like this part, if you didn't make the choice, if you didn't take the responsibility to accept it, then you rejected it. And one of these days when you stand before God, people's going to say, oh Lord, I didn't reject it. And He's going to say, you didn't accept it. So if you didn't accept it, you rejected it. Because I gave you that responsibility. So this choice that He gave us, this choice to be born again, this choice to reject or to accept, this is what now helps us to mature in our spiritual life in Christ. And not only does it help us to mature, but now God's going to use that because somebody else in your life is at that same point to make that same choice of responsibility, and they're looking at you to see what you've done. Now, if they don't accept it, that's not your fault, but you need to be there to be that example. Somebody was there for your example. If you think back about that, somebody was there for your example to do so. In 2 Peter, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting with verse 5. So when we begin to spiritually mature in our life, here's some of the things we're going to start realizing. And God wants us to see these things in our life. And He says, besides this, giving all diligence, giving your due diligence, giving your full cooperation, however you want to put that, to the Lord, He says you're going to add to your faith and you're going to add virtue. And when you add virtue, then He said, then to virtue comes knowledge. To knowledge comes temperance. To temperance comes patience. Now, we're talking about spiritual characteristics here. We're not talking about your old worldly emotional characteristics. And he said, to temperance comes patience. To patience comes godliness. To godliness comes brotherly kindness. You see where we're going with this? Christ told his disciples the two greatest commandments was what? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And then to love who else? To love thy neighbor, meaning everybody, as you love yourself and as you love him. So this is what we're working up to. And godliness, to godliness comes brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness comes charity, or comes love. For these things be, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, as a believer, if we're not spiritually sound in our life, if we're not spiritually maturing in our life, whose fault is it? It's my fault. Isn't that what it tells me right here? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the things, three things we want to grow in our life. We want to grow in wisdom. We want to grow in knowledge. And we want to grow in understanding. Now, wisdom and knowledge you'll get right here, studying the Word of God. But that doesn't necessarily bring you into that spiritual maturity that God wants you, because He tells us in here that if you wanted to go into a competition between you and Satan, and who knows the scripture best, who knows it best? He does. The difference is he can never understand it, but you and I can. So if we have wisdom and knowledge, we've got to do something with it. And in order to do something with it, that takes a lot of communication in our relationship with God. So that means there's got to be a lot of time spent in prayer. There's got to be a lot of time spent in the Word of God, so that He can, when we talk to Him through by prayer, He talks to us, He communicates to us through His Word. So this is why a lot of people's communication with the Lord is only one-sided. Oh, preacher, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. God never has spoken it to me. I said, when did the last time you picked up your Bible? Last Sunday morning at church when they was reading out of it. I said, that's why God can't speak to you. Because we don't allow Him to speak to us. So you can pray all you want, but if you never get into the Word of God, the communication isn't going to be the way that God wants it to be. We have to learn to study the Word of God, because there are many, many lessons in our life that we have to learn. And it all starts right here. It started with our justification. God continues to work with us through our sanctification, and that all comes through the redemption that He gave us through His redeeming blood upon the cross and the resurrection, because the Word of God is what provides us with instruction. And we need that instruction. You can't live your day to day without this instruction. Now, you might try, and you're probably going to fail miserably. And how do I know that? Because I can attest to it. Because there's many, many days in my life that I go off without the instruction and I fail miserably. We need this instruction from God, because that's what gives us our life, and that's what gives us godliness. So the Word shows us what the characteristics of a spiritually mature believer is all about. And he gave them to you right here. Look what He gave you. He said, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. See, He gave you those characteristics. He said, here, and you know, the problem is, I'm going to read down through these. So I'm working on in verse 5. And he gave all, add to your faith virtue. So I know I've got faith because faith is what, how God saved me through his grace. But so now I'm moving to virtue. If you try to work on these one at a time before you move on to the next, you're never going to get through them. And that is not what God wants for us in his life. See, we try to go, we'll take one commandment out of the Word of God. And I've had people tell me this. I'm working on this one commandment I've been working on for 2 years. I'll move to the next one whenever I get this one right. You're never going to move to the next one because you're never going to get that one right. God wants us to take this in its entirety, and he wants us to start applying these things to our life. Now, you're never going to become perfect in them, but at least we're striving for that perfection. We're striving for the to gain understanding of the wisdom and the knowledge that God has given unto us. And the way that we're striving and the way that we're maturing is through our life in Christ, through our prayer life, and through our time of studying with the Lord. Let's jump down to verse 10 in that same chapter. Here's what he says. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, here's the command, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And here's the promise. For if you do these things, you shall what? Never fail. How many of us failed yesterday? And why did we fail? Because we didn't give diligence to make our calling and election sure. I mean, we didn't start with the instruction that God wanted to give us when we started out our day. So God's desire is that everyone, it doesn't matter from Adam until the end of time, is that we would all come to trust in his Son Jesus Christ for our saving grace. That's God's desire. Sadly, a lot of people's not going to do it. But for those who have done it, then it's up to us. We've accepted that responsibility. We chose that free gift. So now it's up to us to make that calling and election sure. Meaning it's up to us to build on that. It's up to us to grow in our life in Christ. It's up to us for our faith to grow. It's up to us for us to become more mature in our life in Christ, because God wants people to see what maturity in salvation looks like. So that's our part. We have to understand our salvation, and then we have to accept and show boldness in our salvation. Again, a good example of the girls. Show boldness in our... So I was telling, where'd Lindsay go?
Right. Oh,
we was talking downstairs. I'm going to tell this on her. And I said, don't give me the answer. But I said, when your grandmother said, let's go, we're going to... I said, you were excited and ready to go, weren't you? Are any of us ever excited and ready to go when God calls us to do something? No. But you know, when we start and we start to grow in that strength and that power that he's given us through the Holy Spirit, then people begin to see our boldness. So by the time they got through a few houses, people saw their boldness. So we have to start somewhere. And God helps us with that. And here is one of the ways that he helps us with that. In the book of 2 Corinthians, let's just go back there real quick, and then that's the last one I'm going to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Here's where we start. He says, examine yourselves. Now, we're not going to stop there because we just brushed that off. But he says, here's what you're supposed to be examined. He said, examine yourselves whether you what? Be in the faith. the faith that you had, the faith that allowed you to accept God's free gift of grace, are we still living in that faith? Are we still where we need to be and growing in that faith? And he says, if we are, then you will prove your own selves. Meaning, if you are following after that leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit every day of your life, then your salvation now is a proven salvation. And that's what God wants for us. Because he says, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus, listen to this, Jesus Christ is in, do we live our life every day like Christ is in there? Oh, lands, no. I'll bet you if he was holding your hand and standing physically beside of you, you'd live your life a lot different today, wouldn't you? What's the difference between that and him being right here? So he said, no, Jesus Christ is in you, and if he's not, then you're already condemned. If he's not living in you, then you're already condemned to the wrath and condemnation of hell, separated from God for eternity. Okay? So that's not me. I'm saved. Christ is living within me, so my expression to that would be, act like it. Live like it. Show others what it looks like. That Christ is living within me. This is an assurance that sadly not everybody has. But as we show it to others, we can show others what security in Christ is all about. But we can't do it just by telling them. People don't want to hear, they want to see. Don't tell me what you're going to do, show me what you're going to do. And this is our responsibility. This is the ability that God establishes within us. When we begin to allow Him through prayer and through His Word, when we begin to acknowledge everything that He is doing in our life. So once you begin, try this week. Doesn't matter where you're at. I don't care if you're at home, whether you're Walmart, whether you're out. When God does something for you in your life, and this is going to take some boldness on your part. When God does something for you in your life, and again, doesn't matter where you're at, I want you to acknowledge it outright. So I'm in the middle of Walmart. Nancy never sends me to Walmart. You'd know why if you'd ask her. And I find something. I've been looking for an hour. Can't find nothing in Walmart. And I find it, and God shows it to me, and I say, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. And everybody around me is going to what? Run. Look at me like I'm crazy. No. But try that. Acknowledge when God does something for you, acknowledge it. That's all He asks. Acknowledge it. And I guarantee you, it'll be a witness and an example to somebody. Because somebody will walk up to you later and say, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. I was having the same trouble. Thank you. So this is what God, this is important to our spiritual well-being in our life. So if you remember, what did I say at the beginning? A spiritually sound believer is one who is at rest in the Lord. We a lot of times are very restless believers. And why? Because we're not spiritually sound in the Lord. God wants us to always be at rest with Him, that our soul is at rest with Him. So that would be the question that I leave you with this morning. Is your soul at rest with the Lord? Not just today, but every day in your life in Christ. That's God's desire for our life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we're so thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to gather together in your house. Lord, to lift up and to glorify your name. Lord, to be an example of you, your Holy Spirit, the Father that lives within us, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we would pray that we would continue as we go throughout our life to let our light shine. Lord, we want others to see your good works coming through us. And Lord, we would pray that as this happens, as our faith grows, as we continue to mature spiritually in our life in Christ, that this example would shine forth so that others may see the way to the cross, so that we might always be pointing in that direction, so that the desire that you have would be the desire that is instilled within us, that not one person would leave this world without knowing and experiencing your saving grace. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be that person. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be able to live our life so that our soul is always at rest with you. Help us, Lord, not to forget to always give you the praise and the honor and the glory for everything in our life. And all these things we ask in thy most precious and holy name. And amen. Amen. What do we have?
390.
If you're here this morning, if your soul is not at rest with the Lord, then we certainly invite you to open up those lines of communication with Him so that He might be able to work and give us peace of mind. 390.
in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
This morning we're going to have communion, so if I could get a couple volunteers. All right.
Which do you
want?
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to take our scripture from Matthew this morning, so I'll read you just a few verses before we actually partake of communion. In Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 20, he says, "Now when evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, for it had been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said." The importance of growing in our life in Christ is acknowledging where we need to grow. And it all starts with fellowship. Then comes the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the divine judgment of God. But the outcome is always the same: repentance. So this morning, as we're going to stand, and as we partake of the cup and the bread, that's what I want you to think about in your life this morning. The Bible, from the very first verse in Genesis to the very last verse in Revelation, speaks of the redemption of Christ, the redeeming blood of Christ. And in it speaks of our justification, our sanctification, and our glorification. And God would want us to experience all three. So I want you to experience that today as we remember the redemption, the plan of redemption. And he says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body." And it says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it." For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I say unto you, I will not drink it henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it with you new in my Father's kingdom. What a wonderful promise God makes unto us for remembering what he has done for us in our life. Debbie, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. You allowed us to be here in your house today, Lord, and what a blessing. We can't thank you enough, Lord, for the wonderful, wonderful blessings you gave us, Lord. We thank you for this day, this beautiful day, Lord, that you have given, that you have set before us, Lord. May our feet walk on the path, Lord, that you would have us on. May our hearts feel the things that you would have us to feel, Lord. And may all come to you, Lord, with asking for forgiveness for our sins, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you guide and direct us. You love us. You keep us safe, Lord. All glory and praise to God. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Are we doing this? song?
Okay. It's key up.
Okay, go ahead.
There should be a song sheet in your somewhere. It's Here I Am, Lord.
No, I picked them up.
You picked them up?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I clean, I put things away. It's a curse.
Sing it by memory.
Well, then you can pass them out.
It's a curse.
Yeah, you pass them out.
Okay, while she's passing them out quickly, we did have a deacons meeting this past week, and one of the things that we discussed was we will, the first and third Sundays now, we will be doing communion. Not just the third Sunday, but the first and the third Sunday. So.
I'm sorry.
The first and the third Sunday will be doing communion. Okay.
Thank you.
Debbie, you want to lead us in doxology?
Yes.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And the church said, Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!